Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, hello, Portland, Oregon, and Washington, and our online listeners. This is not Chuck Price. This is Kevin Stege, CPA with Baker and Colson CPA firms out in CPA firm out in Gresham, Oregon. I am manning the show by myself today. Carl is taking his hard-earned time off, and Chuck is also doing the same thing. And so today we are going to be focused on taxes. We will leave the legal advice to those who know what they're talking about, and the investment in financial advising to, again, those who know what they're talking about. But taxes is a good topic. There's been a lot of changes, obviously, the last 6, 8 months, year, a lot of different plans, different things to look at and talk about. But I do want to give you our numbers again. So we would we do want your calls. I do want your calls. Tell us what's on your mind, what tax situation maybe you've been thinking about or planning. Maybe we can help give you some advice that gets you pointed in the right direction. Again, this show is just general information, not intended to be, nor should it be treated as actual tax, legal, investment, accounting, or other professional advice. You should consult your own qualified professional. So basically, this is just entertainment. No, we can help give you some good information and get you steered in the right direction. Our number, again, is 503-417-9595. Or if you're out of the area, it's 877-733-1011. So I thought I would start with something we chatted about briefly on our show last week, and that's some of the changes on the 1040 form and how that's going to look. It's pretty significant revamp, although pretty much all of the information is the same. I think it's similar to what we see with a lot of software. The basics of the program, we'll take like Windows operating system. The basics are mostly the same. Yeah, they add some new features. But in general, all they've done is like rearrange everything and put it in a different place that you're not used to looking. So that's my general take on this. I think the new form, the quote postcard format, will help some people, will simplify their filing a little bit. But boy, oh boy, it's for at least most of our clients that aren't in the W-2 only category with federal withholding only, I think it's going to add quite a few pages and changes to the layout. And so I'll describe that a little bit here to get going. But before that, we've got our first caller, and we're going to go to the lines here and talk with Greg. Greg, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Kevin.
Good.
How are you?
Good morning. Very good. How are you?
Great. Hey, my wife and I are approaching the year of 62 years old, and I've been asking people probably the last 3 or 4 years, every time I see somebody a little bit older, hey, when did you take Social Security?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say probably 95% of them have said, 62. Don't wait. Don't wait. Just take it now, and and enjoy it. What's your take on that?
I agree with that percentage. Mostly, that's what I have seen. Also, most people are probably looking at their longevity, their take on whether Social Security quote is going to be around or not, and I think a lot of people are wanting to do other things with their life rather than take their remaining, you know, say from 62 to 70, those are going to be your remaining best 8 years health-wise, probably. And why work that when you can possibly put a plan in place to receive some money that you may not get in the future and move on? I have seen a large percentage of people taking in Social Security at 62.
Yeah. All right, could I have a follow-up question?
Absolutely.
My wife and I still work part-time as substitute teachers, and we also want to make sure that we don't go over to the next tax bracket if we also start taking our Social Security on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out a way to make everything match up where, okay, I'm taking my Social Security, I'm working a little bit, but I'm also not going from the 22% tax bracket to the next one.
Gotcha.
Am I overthinking that? Or
No. Very good issue to consider. Fortunately, if I'm hearing you right, are you already in the 22% tax bracket?
Yes.
Okay. You have the next bracket is the 22% bracket is very large. And I don't have it directly in front of me, but I think roughly you're talking taxable income for a married couple at you have about $100,000, I think, of income that's about right. About $100,000 of income to bump into the next bracket, and the next one is only up a few percentage points. Like
right,
yeah. So I think you should be okay, but definitely worth considering that. You know, if you're making. I'm assuming you're not making over the $17,000 per year.
No,
okay.
Nope.
To reduce your Social Security. So unless you're taking a large amount of IRA, I know you're probably locked into as teachers PERS, which is bumping you into the higher bracket. And with your Social Security, that's going to be max taxed. But
one more quick question.
Yeah.
If I happen to go into the next tax bracket because we made like $10,000 over the 22% threshold, am I only taxed at the next level at that $10,000 level?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
But really, it's not that big a hit.
Exactly right. The big jump is going from the 12 to the 22. Once you're into 22, it's worth looking at, but probably the 3 percentage points on that extra income is not that big of an issue.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Very good call, Greg. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, here's our numbers, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. Very good issue to consider there for Greg. So back to our 1040 layout. It's when you take a look at this, it's going to kind of blow your mind a little bit. So, you know, here we had two very full pages in 2017 of a 1040, page one and page two. Page one has most of your income and some adjustments. Page two has your deductions, your credits, your taxes, your final tax calculation and your direct deposit information. Well, now the two pages, the first page is just your name and information and where you sign. And the second page only has 20 lines. And the first five lines are for the most basic income that you can report. Wages, interest, dividends, some retirement like IRA and pensions, and Social Security. So those are your simplified filers who are going to be able to use this form and pretty well still file a two-page 1040 with possibly no other schedules. So they've simplified it for maybe your first-time worker who's got their first wage coming in and they're not they don't have a lot of other pokers in the fire. Well, we get to line six, and there's only one other line for income, and that's basically all other income. That's going to be your rental income, your capital gains, your farm income, your business income. So that's all of our other taxpayers. And if you have income in that category, you have to file the first of a brand new schedule, Schedule 1. And so that's another page that summarizes all of those things. So whereas we had all that on the first page of the 1040, now we have a schedule that are separating it. And I worked up a scenario of a very simple filer. This is a retiree who has some Social Security and a pension or an IRA and some interest or dividends. Just those amounts right there. You'll still be able to file a two-page 1040. That's fine. But if in that interest and dividends, in that brokerage account, if you have something that's very common, such as a mutual fund that pays out capital gains, or you bought or sold some stocks, or that mutual fund invests in foreign investments and has foreign taxes, foreign income, and passes that out on a 1099 to you, you've gone just that those two small items in your brokerage account, you go from 2 pages 1040 to a 6 pages 1040, because you have to attach a schedule for the new capital gains tax, that's Schedule 2. You have to attach Schedule 1 to report the capital gains. You have to attach Schedule 3 for the foreign tax credit. You now have to attach Schedule... and if you pay quarterly estimated taxes, that's another schedule for your withholding. So that basically gets us up to six pages. So simplification, no. Reordering, yes. Extra pages, yes. Hopefully most people are e-filing, and this is just kind of the layout to kind of look at your PDF of your taxes. So maybe we're not even having to use extra pages, but anyway, that's the high and the low of the new changes. It's out to the public and tax professionals for review and comments to the IRS. You can send your comments to the IRS. Don't ever get involved in that. I let those who have any clout worry about that. But anyway, we'll see what the final changes really are. But again, it feels like just a reordering of the current info, because they still need all the current info. So, well, we're going to take our first break, and we look forward to your calls, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, wealth management. Price Financial Group, wealth management.
Hello, my name is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so that clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsonlaw.com.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we'll get right back into it here. Again, welcome your calls. That's what makes this show go, and we will press on with filler, if you will, until we get the meat of our show, which is you calling in with your questions, tax questions. I prefer that because it's very similar to just sitting down in my office and getting a call sometimes from a first-time person who has a question, and we can kind of work through your situation and see what's going on and what needs to be addressed. One thing I run into a lot, I find that I spend a lot of time advising my clients or talking to them or educating or working through their situation on small business setups. And the economy has been such over the last 5 years that we've done a fair amount of that. And we see a lot of little startups, and some of them very profitable, some good niches that are people have been finding. And, you know, they come in and they know what they are doing on their business side of things, or they know what their plan is, but they want to manage the tax bill. They want their accounting in place. Obviously, they want to be efficient at it, so they're not spending a lot of time at it or being organized in such a way that they're having to pay a professional a whole bunch of money to, you know, arrive at some decent numbers. And then ultimately, you know, the end product is you want a good tax return, you want a low tax bill to the IRS and Oregon Department of Revenue and your self-employment tax, and you want good documentation and accounting records to be able to withstand scrutiny and audit. Correspondence audits happen quite frequently anymore. I would say the old-fashioned letter that comes that says, hey, we have selected your return for audit. Please provide your bank statements, your receipts, so on and so forth. That's becoming fewer and far between. When that happens, that is a significant event for your business and obviously needs to be addressed. But most likely, you're going to get the correspondence audit that just says, we're questioning a few items on your return. Please provide backup or documentation for these expenses or what have you. There's many different reasons for an audit, and we will talk about in our next segment an area that the IRS is looking at, one of their fresh areas, and it's not surprising. In fact, two areas. I'll look at two of their new ones that are out there. Anyway, regarding business setups, the first place I like to start in advising my clients is telling them there's a big difference between, and this is the same for estate taxes also, or estate planning. There's a big difference between the legal circle and their terms and the tax circle and our terms. And in the legal circle, and I don't want to get into legal advice, but in the legal circle, when you talk about an LLC, the legal side of things is looking at partnership agreements. It's looking at limited liability protection for your business versus your personal assets, those types of things. And then I can't go into all the details that they cover. But when we talk about an LLC, we're talking about potentially three different types of taxation that you can elect. And so when someone says, well, I want to be an LLC, well, that's great for legal purposes, but have you considered the tax planning side of things, which is significantly, you know, there's issues involved there. An LLC can be taxed as a sole proprietorship. That's a single member LLC. That's kind of the default taxation of an LLC. If you have multi-members, now you can be taxed as a partnership. And there's some very good benefits to selecting partnership taxation as an LLC, but you got to know what you're doing there, and you are creating a separate entity now, its own tax ID number, its own tax return, its own accounting requirements for that tax return, a balance sheet, so on and so forth. And then you can also elect as an LLC, whether it's single or multi-member, you can elect corporate taxation, S-corp taxation. Those are things that we like to explore and discuss with new business clients is how do they want to be taxed? And we tell them the various factors that go into selecting the various types of taxation. And we'll kind of go over a couple of those right here. Got to get some more coffee going here. So a sole proprietorship, very simple to file a sole proprietorship tax form. It's just a Schedule C that goes along with your 1040. So the red tape and the administration is pretty simple. It's a one-page form, got your income and your 20 or so expenses, tack on some mileage and some home office, and you're pretty well done. So that's fairly simple, but it's probably the worst for taxation. You're probably paying the highest amount of taxes on that Schedule C income. Now, if you're breaking even maybe the first year or 2 years, or you have a lot of expenses, or you can take some Section 179 on some equipment and stuff, maybe that Schedule C is the way to go. If you have if you take the next step and say, okay, we're a multi-member LLC, let's say it's a husband and wife partnership, now maybe you can structure something where you can save some self-employment tax with a passive partner or not. So those are some of the things that we look at. And then the last one is the S corporation. Those were really popular some time back, but now not so much, because the partnership can really accomplish a lot of the same tax savings if you have the right partners. But the S corp, the drawback to that is you have a lot of red tape. You have to have salary going out to the owners, the active owners, and corporate minutes, and some various other stuff, usually tighter rules on distributions and what have you. So anyway, if you're making a lot of good money, definitely look at the partnership or the S corporation. If you're kind of breaking even, maybe the sole proprietorship is a good way to start. So there's kind of the summary, if you will, of some of the business setup taxation side of things. Obviously not the legal side of things. There's various, you know, depending on your type of business that you're involved in, you may want to select a different legal entity for liability protection, or shareholder agreements, partner agreements, those types of things. So that's the high and the low of it there. So again, let's give you our numbers here, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. I know that was such a scintillating last 10 minutes that nobody dared call and interrupt that wealth of knowledge that I just produced there. But I'm done on that topic now, so feel free to call back in if you will. It looks like we have a text question here. If I am an LLC sole proprietor, will my business deduction still count with the new tax law standard deduction of $12,000? Ah, very good question. So the question is, if you're an LLC and you have a sole proprietorship and you're filing a Schedule C, do you still get to take, say you only have $6,000 of Schedule C business deductions, do you still get to take those deductions in addition to the $12,000 standard deduction that a single person gets under the new tax law changes? And the answer is absolutely yes. Business deductions are different and separate from personal itemized deductions. Business deductions are going to be things directly related to your business, such as office supplies, office equipment, mileage, liability insurance, what have you. Those types of things, repair and maintenance on your equipment, that type of thing. Standard deductions are going to be your state and local income taxes, your real estate taxes, your home mortgage interest, your charity. Those are going to be your main ones, and your medical. Hopefully you don't have any deduction there, because it has to be almost catastrophic to get any benefit there. But put all of that, those together, if those exceed $12,000, then you get your itemized deductions too. But if they're under the $12,000, then you just take the standard $12,000 deduction. So yes, very good question. You get them both. Business is always separate from the personal. Okay. 503-417-9595. And when we come back to our next segment here in just a few minutes, I want to talk about an area that the IRS is focusing on, two areas, on audits specifically related to businesses and investors. But before that, just some brief news here. It looks like the state of Oregon is going to be generating another kicker for, this is going to be for 2017, and so that will affect your 2018 filings. So be sure to be looking for the kicker. That's when their revenues exceed their budget predictions. So we've had that kicker for about, it happens every 2 years, and we've had that about two or three times in a row. So it looks like it's going to continue. It looks like tax revenues have been very good. Another news item, it looks like, this is regarded to student loans. We have a fair amount of planning that happens around student loans. Who's taking the, who's making the repayments? Who's taking the interest deductions? That type of a thing. And one thing that we're seeing a little bit of is if your student loans are in default, and that's been a little bit of a planning area for some people to say, hey, we think that student loans are going to be repackaged and there's going to be some forgiveness down the road. So we're just going to go into default and hope for that. I don't think that's a great idea because tax refunds, if you're entitled to a tax refund and your student loan is in default, like other liabilities you may have with the taxing authorities, they're starting to keep your tax refunds to make payments toward your student loans. So just note that that scenario maybe isn't the best planning opportunity. So with that, we are going to, we have another question that we'll get to here after our break, but we're going to go to our next break. And again, we welcome your calls, 503-417-9595, 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Financial Brew Wealth Management. We do Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
You're listening to Investing Simplified, and we're going to go right to another question we have online, and that is, the question is we are married and should be getting the $24,000 standard deduction. Does that standard deduction go up or change with having children? Very good question. Your tax picture does change, but the standard deduction does not, and there are no more exemptions. Your exemptions would go up as in the past under the old tax rules for 2017 and older. Those would go up about $4,000 per individual on your tax return per dependent and husband and wife. But the standard deduction now stays the same. Exemptions are gone. Tax rates are improved to help make up for the loss of exemptions. And then your child tax credit, which was $1,000 per qualifying child in the past, is now $2,000 per qualifying child, qualifying being age 16 or 17 and under, depending what year we're talking about. So that extra $1,000 credit, remember, that's a dollar-for-dollar credit against your taxes, not a deduction, which only is a reduction in income and a reduction of the percentage of tax. So that $2,000 credit is pretty nice, and you should, all things being equal, you should probably come out a little bit ahead in 2018 as opposed to 2017, all things being equal. So we are going to go to our live line. We have Craig on the line. Craig, are you there?
Hi, Kevin.
Hello. How are you today?
We are doing most excellent. Thank you for asking. And Kevin, thank you for the service that you're providing. It's very invaluable to us.
Well, thank you for thanking me.
You do a great job.
All right. Well, how can we help you today?
Well, Kevin, the reason I'm calling is that my parents are elderly, and they've had an elder abuse situation that occurred in 2017. Basically, they willingly gave away roughly $350,000 from their IRAs and gave that away to a fraudster because of just their cognitive ability to think things through. Mm-hmm. So I'm now power of attorney. I'm trying to dig out of a hole here for them. And my question is, what are the IRS implications? Because there are taxes that are going to be due on those distributions. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to reduce that amount, or is this just going to add insult to injury?
Oh, boy, that is an excellent issue. I'm really sorry to hear that. Very good question to look at, though. At this point, you know, the standard the IRS is going to look at is exactly as you said. They're going to see the 1099 of the distribution, and they're going to want their taxes on that. At this point, with myself, with my clients, I would be looking at potential for, a theft loss write-off, if possible, and then also a hardship waiver. You know, anything. And you're going to have to bring this up with them because they're not going to know. And so this is one where I would dig into the books and look at some various examples, guidance from some of our authoritative sources that would indicate, hey, try these various areas. Those are the first two that come to mind for me would be theft loss. I'm not sure if that would qualify. That's kind of, it's never been a great deduction, but it's a starting place. And then the other one is, a hardship waiver, at least for the penalties and interest for sure. But boy, that's going to be a, like you say, that's going to be a really significant tax hit.
Right. Is this something that I could hire you to help facilitate? Is this something you'd be competent in doing?
Yes, we could dig into that and give you some good direction on that. Absolutely.
Excellent. So just a matter of making an appointment and getting together with you?
That's right.
Excellent. Let me do that.
Okay. Very good, Craig. I appreciate that. And boy, you bring up just a really difficult area that I think is happening more and more. It's hard to know the line between when your parents go from being capable to needing some help and them opening the door and allowing help. Those are some difficult discussions to have.
Yes. They're very high-level functioning, but just don't have an ability to detect BS or scams. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of what's that. Thank you so much. Again, you're doing an excellent job. Really appreciate the service that all three of you guys are providing, but you're doing a great job there running solo.
Very good. Very good. Well, our phone number at Baker & Coulson is 503-666-5569, and we'll be able to get you in and start taking a look at that.
Are you open Fridays?
Good question. We moved to a four-day work week after April 15th through the end of basically November. But I do come in on Fridays to take specific appointments, so not a problem.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. I'll chat with you and try to raise something for this Friday if you have an appointment available.
Okay. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks. You bet. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take our next caller, Lee. You have a tax question.
I do, Kevin, and thanks for holding down the fort.
No problem. It's a little lonely here without. It's hard to know when to get to go to my coffee again. I just, you know, you have to talk the whole time. So anyway.
Well, I'm going to badmouth Chuck a little bit while he's not there, I guess, and so we'll see what you say about it. But he once mentioned that he was. We've had the recent tax cut, which, in a number of ways, looks pretty good. I pay less taxes. I don't make that much money, so that's nice. There are some companies that have given out bonuses to their employees. Hopefully some American companies that have sent their corporate headquarters and assets overseas will bring some back. But by all accounts, we're going to be seeing an even bigger deficit in our country here, at least for a while. And Chuck once said that, hey, if our debt gets over $20 trillion, we're in deep trouble. And it passed that a while ago. And every article I've seen says, oh, yeah, and this tax cut is actually going to accelerate that even more so. So I'm wondering, in your mind, or you're the tax expert, philosophically, what do we need? I mean, tax cuts are great. People love them. But it seems like it's like a cup of coffee. It's short-term gain and long-term pain. So I'm wondering if you have, from what you've seen over the years that you've been doing taxes and seeing our government at work and so on, if you've come to any conclusions about what we really, really, really need to do to get things under control in the United States before it really gets ugly, and I will take your answer off the air, and thank you.
All right, Lee. Well, I think you have very valid concerns there. I personally have not delved into I work with the rules that are in place, and typically I figure it's a losing battle for me to worry about policy and that type of a thing, that things that I can't change. Maybe I can give some insight, but nobody comes and asks me that makes those decisions. So I'm fine with that. But I do think about those things personally. And, you know, I think ultimately my perspective is number one, I agree that this is going to accelerate the deficit, which is a huge problem. I think we have to have cuts to government growth. I'm not talking about cuts to government. I'm just talking about cuts to government growth and spending. When you look at the budget that the state of Oregon has, they increase that 15% per biennium. And somebody who really knows the number can let me know if that's accurate. But I think that's the last time I checked. And I know the economy's not growing by 15% every 2 years. That'd be 7.5% each year. So at some point, you got to slow down the government spending. And that's got to be, to me, the number one priority. And I just don't see that happening. I just don't. And so we take care of one side of things, which is help giving people more power, more freedom, more of their own money that they've earned to spend as they see fit. And that's a good thing to, you know, and you have to have taxes. So that's, you know, everybody knows that. And so I think the new tax cuts where they're at is a good place, but you just can't keep spending money hand over foot, 15% growth every 2 years in government. So, you know, that's my two cents. I don't feel that much of that's going to change. I used to worry about it a lot, and anymore I just worry about, you know, getting my clients the lowest tax bill possible under the current laws. That's about my only insight on that, unfortunately. So, but good things to consider. And for those who are inclined to talk with your senator, I know Chuck is very active on those types of things. I think, you know, you got to, those people should do those things, and it's good to be involved. There's good checks and balances on both sides. So, so I'm going to change the topic here and talk a little bit about summertime, and we're going to make this pretty short because we're going to go to our next break here in just a brief minute. Going to talk about summer jobs and your kids and taxes. This is a great time when your kid gets their first summer job, or it's part-time. Maybe they've started their own lawn mowing business, lemonade stand, that type of a thing. It's a great time to educate them about taxes. They're going to have to know, and it's going to go with them their whole life, taxes. And they're going to be filing tax returns, and to educate them early on how it works, how painful it can be if you don't plan, this is a great time to do that. They'll be filling out their W-4. Say they get a small part-time job, they'll be filling out their W-4 for the first time. That's a great time to educate them about withholdings. I tend to give two bits of advice, both on both sides of the fence, on filling out your first W-4. Some people, I recommend, hey, take out, let's teach the child about taxes and how steep they can be. So have a lot withheld, and then when they file their tax return, they'll get a refund, and hey, that's pretty nice. It's a forced savings. They learn during the year how much goes out in taxes, but then they can get a little bit of a refund at the end of the year. Very nice. On the other side of things, don't create more work for yourselves in a tax filing when one may not be needed, especially if they're making, you know, $4,000, $5,000 or less. You could have no withholding, and then they're not required to file a tax return, but then, of course, they're not learning very much. They're just spending their full net paycheck, but then you're not having to worry about filing taxes. So that's what I've got to say about summer jobs and kids. Good time to learn about things. We're going to go to our next break. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we'll go right to the phones. Maria, you have a question regarding 401k withdrawals.
Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I would like to know, my yearly income is approximately $21,500, and that's a pension and Social Security. And I would like to know how much I can take out of my 401k without incurring a lot of taxes.
Oh, very good question. Are you single or married?
I'm single, and I'm an Oregon resident.
Single in Oregon. Okay.
Yes.
So How much of that $21,500 is Social Security?
About $15,000.
About $15,000. Yes. Okay. Okay. So typically, I would have to run a few numbers to get you a closer dollar amount, but I can kind of just ballpark you here.
That's all I kind of am thinking.
Okay. So the more you take out of your 401k, the more of your Social Security is going to become taxable. And I got to convert all these numbers to the single. We're probably looking at, you know, if you took $10,000 out of your... Now, your question was to stay in the lower bracket or just to not have much tax?
No, to stay in the low low bracket.
Okay.
The lowest bracket.
Okay. You know, I would say off the top of my head, somewhere around $10,000 could come out.
Okay. What I would like to do is take as much as possible out and put it into my regular account.
Yes. I think... That's a great idea, and frankly, if you were to call our office or another place for just a very small amount of time, somebody could just run your numbers and give you a very specific amount. And I think it's a great planning opportunity because you don't want to leave excess deductions on the table. And not take money out of that 401k and put it into a regular account and get that money out of your 401k where it's taxable. And then they could give you a real specific amount where just the tax savings alone could pay for the hour that it would take for them to really do a good calculation for you. Yeah.
Very good. Okay, that is really all I wanted to know, so I can go ahead and take a little bit more out without... having to worry about it.
Yes. And again, I would say, you know, have somebody actually run the numbers. That's I'm really giving you a rough estimate there.
Okay. Yes, I will do that. Thank you very much. I appreciate your show.
Okay, Maria. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll go to our next caller. We have Al with a question regarding withholding. Al, are you there?
I am. How you doing, Kevin?
I am excellent. How about yourself?
Good. I guess you're soloing it today.
I am. That's not a good thing, but hey, we'll make do.
Yeah, I have a question. It's about the new withholding tables, and I just want to see if I got things right. So the new amount you can have to keep you in the 12% bracket is around $77,000.
Sounds like you're married. That would be very...
Oh, that's correct. Yes.
That's
married. My wife and I are both retired.
Okay, that sounds about right, of taxable income, yes.
Okay, so, and the new deduction, or the new, I guess it's the new deduction is $24,000?
Yes.
So, essentially, if I take 74 plus 20, or 77 plus 24, I can essentially make about $95,000 or something and still be in the 12% bracket?
That's right. 77 plus 24 gets you just slightly over 100,000, and that's exactly right. You'd have about 100,000 of income to recognize. Take your standard deduction, and your taxable income is still going to be in the 22% bracket. It's going to come up to the 22% bracket. You'll be just out of it.
Okay. So, but I can still be in the, if I take the 77 plus the 24. Add those together, I'm still going to be in the 12%.
That's correct.
That's a pretty good deal then.
It is.
So I have another really quick question, if you have time.
Sure.
I just lost my train of thought.
Oh, no trouble. But what you were talking about earlier is the exact thing that is great to plan, knowing that if you're making more than that $101,000, now you're stepping up into an extra 10%. Maybe that's not worth your time and, you know, the extra money that you'd be paying in taxes. So
I just remembered what it was.
Excellent.
So we also have Roth IRAs. Is it true that we have to show those on our taxes, the money that we take out of our Roths? Even though we're not going to be taxed on it?
Often you will get a 1099-R showing a Roth distribution, and you do report it on your tax return, but if it's properly reported with the right code that comes on the 1099, it will be non-taxable.
Okay, so yes. We still have to, even if I was to take out, I don't know, $20,000, $30,000 or whatever, I still have to show it on my taxes,
That's right. Even though
it's a Roth and it's not taxable.
That's right.
Okay. Anyway, thank you very much for the info. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Very good. Thanks for the call, Al.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, very good questions. We have knowledgeable, in-tune listeners dialed into their tax situations. That is good stuff. Well, I thought I would address one small little issue here regarding how much does the average American pay in taxes? And you can kind of see where you fit in this. The average American household makes about $75,000. Of that, how much do you think goes out in taxes to federal and state income taxes? Well, roughly 14%, just a little over $10,000. So that's the average American household for taxes. Now, that does not include real estate taxes or Social Security and Medicare taxes that would be withheld from your wage, or sales taxes if you're in a sales tax state. So you can see the tax burden is actually quite a bit bigger than that. Now, my wife and I, we pay over 50% of our income to federal income taxes, state income taxes, Social Security and Medicare taxes, self-employment tax, payroll taxes, real estate taxes, and charity. I threw that in there because you thought I had a huge tax bill. But the whole point of bringing that up is this is a good time to remember you give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and you give unto God the things that are God. You don't want to mess with the IRS. Give them what they're due. But, you know, with the Lord, it's a different thing. That's one of the promises he gives. He says, test me and see. You can't outgive God. So that's one little tidbit I want to pass on to all of our listeners. And we welcome we're getting to the end of our show here, so probably don't have time for, we got two more minutes left, I hear, in my ear, so we probably don't have time for any more callers, but you're welcome to call Baker & Coulson if you have any tax questions or planning. We're at 503-666-5569. We've got a pretty good website at baker-coulson.com. That's baker-coulson.com. We're out the far east side of Gresham. Baker & Coulson's been there well over 40 years now. I guess we're going on 41 years or more. And we have a number of CPAs that specialize in various areas of tax planning and preparation. I head up the estate and trust taxation, and I have a number of small businesses, very successful ones. My largest business client isn't even in the state of Oregon. I have a number of individual clients that you would know their position and name. So we specialize in high net worth individuals also. Many industries we specialize in, not all, but construction, real estate, rentals, nonprofits. So there's some very robust nonprofits out there that need a lot of advice and filing, and we have some CPAs that specialize in that. Another CPA specializes in a lot of real estate transactions. So we would love to hear from you, and we will talk to you again next week. We will talk to you again next week, and you're listening to Invest in Simplify. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. We do Investing Simplified. Price Financial.
listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365 and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.